Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to welcome Chris Motes from the South Dakota Catholic Conference and Emily Leadham from the Office of Family, from the Office of Marriage, Family, and Respect Life, talking about Respect Life Month coming up in October. Lots of uplifting conversation. I hope you'll stick around for it. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Renee Leach with the first and second reading, and Deacon Roger Height with the Gospel.
A reading from the Book of Wisdom. The wicked say, "Let us beset the just one, because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings, reproaches us for transgressions of the law, and charges us with violations of our training. Let us see whether his words are true. Let us find out what will happen to him. For if the just one be the Son of God, God will defend him and deliver him from the hand of his foes. With revilement and torture, let us put the just one to the test, that we may have proof of his gentleness and try his patience. Let us condemn him to a shameful death, for according to his own words, God will take care of him." The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. James. Beloved, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without inconstancy or insincerity. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who cultivate peace. Where do the wars and where do the conflicts among you come from? Is it not from your passions that make war within your members? You covet but do not possess. You kill and envy, but you cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You do not possess because you do not ask. You ask, but you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples came down the mountain and began to go through Galilee. But he did not want anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples in this vein: "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men who will put him to death. 3 days after his death, he will rise." Though they failed to understand his words, they were afraid to question him. They returned to Capernaum, and Jesus, once inside the house, began to ask them, "What were you discussing on the way home?" At this, they fell silent, for on the way they had been arguing about who was the most important. So he sat down and called the 12 around him and said, "If anyone wishes to rank first, he must remain the last one of all and the servant of all." Then he took a little child, stood him in their midst, and putting his arms around him, said to them, "Whoever welcomes a child such as this for my sake welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but him who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now we'll look with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin. Here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, Vicky Feist of Pierre was recently elected first Vice National Regent, a position equivalent to Vice President of the Catholic Daughters of the Americas, one of the oldest and largest organizations of Catholic women in the Americas. Feist was elected at the organization's 57th biennial national convention held in Sioux Falls and attended by over 1,200 members, voting delegates, and clergy from across the country. In her position as first Vice National Regent, Feist is one of the five national officers, the top governing board of the organization, who together administer established policy, determine the direction of the Catholic Daughters. Vicky Feist and her husband, Lynn, are members of the Saints Peter and Paul Parish in Pierre. She has been a Catholic Daughter for 19 years and is a member of Court St. Anne number 1121 of Pierre and Fort Pierre. You can read and see more about Feist and her election in the September edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, going to church on Sunday morning is a tradition for most Catholics, but a new trend may be emerging: Sunday evening masses. St. Michael the Archangel in South Glens Falls, New York, is one of nearly a dozen parishes in the Diocese of Albany, New York, that offer a Sunday night mass. It's the only parish in that area with an evening mass on Sundays. 5 years ago, Father Guy Childs, the pastor, started offering a 5:30 p.m. mass on Sundays at St. Michael twice a month. It quickly became popular. In 2015, it became a weekly offering. It really does fit a need, the pastor explained in an interview with the Evangelist, Albany's diocesan newspaper. According to a census of mass goers across that diocese conducted each October, 71 parishioners attended St. Michael's 5:30 p.m. mass in 2016 on the weekend surveyed. When the October mass count was repeated in 2017, 134 parishioners attended the mass, around a 30% increase from the previous year. Bono, the lead singer of the Irish band U2, said he told Pope Francis that in Ireland it looks as though the abusers are being more protected than the victims, and you could see the pain in the Pope's face. Bono met the Pope this week to sign an agreement between his charity, One, and the Scholars Acuriantes, educational charity supported by Pope Francis. During the half-hour meeting, Bono said that he brought up Pope Francis's recent trip to Ireland and the concerns there about the sexual abuse crisis. The Pope was aghast, Bono said. I thought he was sincere. I think he's an extraordinary man for extraordinary times, the singer said. One is a campaign and advocacy effort working to end extreme poverty, especially in Africa. One of its current focuses, Bono told reporters this week, is education for girls and young women. Some 130 million girls around the world do not go to school because they are girls, he said. Poverty is sexist, is the campaign slogan, Bono said. The long-awaited Sino-Vatican agreement on the nomination of bishops is expected to be signed this month, reported several media outlets. Vatican spokesmen have said only that talks are ongoing, but a Vatican source told America Magazine, the New York-based weekly published by the Jesuits, that the deal is due to be signed in Beijing before the end of September. But the report said the text of the agreement will not be made public even after the signing. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Very good, Gene. Thanks for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Emily Liedem and Chris Motes. Emily from the Office of Respect Life, Office of Marriage, Family, and Respect Life. But I'm thinking about Respect Life because we're going to focus on that a bit today. And Chris Motes from the South Dakota Catholic Conference. Good to have you both with us.
Great to be with you, Jerry.
We are approaching October. October, traditionally known as the month where we pay special attention to issues surrounding the whole topic of respecting life. And so we want to talk about that a little bit. And the reality is there's a lot of challenges out there, but there's a lot of good news out there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. We're seeing so many, I think, just in my own life, I'm recognizing the gifts that God is pouring out. Just this reminder that life is so good, that it's so abundant, that it's so blessed. And that doesn't mean that it comes without challenges. And I think that's really the message that Respect Life Month is hoping to send, is a reminder, is to build up that culture of joy. And yes, of course, that comes with increasing awareness about the harmful effects of abortion, about the intrinsic evil of things like abortion or assisted suicide, or, I mean, you name it, a plethora of pro-life issues. But I think at the heart of my desire, at least, for Respect Life Month and for the conversation and the culture of life within the diocese particularly, is that it would be really a message of joy, that it would be a message of truth and goodness and beauty, and that we're made good.
I know, Chris, you and I have had a bit of a conversation about this before, and that is that how we talk about things matters. Words matter. The way we frame things matters. And we need to talk to people so they understand what the church is for, as much as where there might be some limits.
That's right. You know, it's so easy to get caught into we're against something, which is true. I mean, Gaudium et Spes, this great document from the Second Vatican Council, refers to abortion as an unspeakable crime, and we can never forget that. But why is it an unspeakable crime? Mm. What is it a violation of? It's a violation of this great gift that we don't create ourselves. We are created beings of a creator, and we receive life as just an amazing gift. Mm-hmm. And as Emily put it so well, that doesn't mean that life is easy. But I think we can even say that most oftentimes things that come easy aren't the things that have the most value. It's we see the great giftedness and the value in the fact that there are difficulties, yet there's sweetness, great sweetness in them.
Yeah, sometimes it's the living through of the tough stuff, isn't it, that helps us to have the perspective we need to really appreciate exactly what the Lord has given us.
Which is at the heart of the gospel, you know, the reality that Christ was crucified, and through his crucifixion, through his suffering, through the difficulties, I mean, difficulty sounds like such a silly word to use, but through the immense suffering, suddenly we have the resurrection. Mm-hmm. Suddenly we have life eternal.
Access
and that's
to
the
it.
Promise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Access to it. That's the great gift of the Christian life.
Yes, it's. I think there's so many things you can point to in the Gospels, especially that where you know, things that in a way humans think make sense get stood on their head. Jesus was so good at that, wasn't he, about helping us think about things in ways that we just don't ordinarily think about them.
Yeah, full of paradox, yeah. Apparent paradox. You know, what the world sees as wisdom isn't often what the gospel values would say is true wisdom. And that's what we see in our world with life being attacked in so many different ways. You know, we're so ready, or at least what we're receiving from the world is so ready to point to either death or a denial of the opportunity for life as the answer to life's difficulties, rather than as a path to holiness, rather than as a solution. So it's both a complex thing, but so simple that life is just so good.
And I think it's maybe one of the challenges, you kind of alluded to this, Emily, of the month is to hold those ideals up, to hold up the maybe some of the examples of where we see the good that comes from respecting life.
And I think, exactly, and I think the great gift of the church is that, in particularly, we have these saintly examples. Blessed, is it Chiara Luce, I think, an Italian, a young mm-hmm. Italian woman, I think, just, I cannot think of her, or I cannot not think of her when I think about respect life, because she lived that so abundantly well. You know, this reality, when the world said death, she chose life, mm-hmm. and life to the full for that matter. Even on her deathbed, she was choosing joy. She was choosing goodness. She was choosing Christ. And I think that's the invitation of the gospel. And that's the abundant life. That's the grace-filled life.
And Chris, you know, we have to acknowledge that right now there's stuff going on in our world and frankly in our church that's disturbing us. That's troubling us. All the more reason, it seems to me, to hold up some of these examples and to point out really what Christ calls us to.
That's right. And it's, you know, it can be, frankly, just discouraging to look at some of the darkness and ugliness within the world that even permeates into the church at times. Yet at the same time, that's part of the promise. The Lord promised us persecutions. The Lord promised us that there would be difficulty. Not that it's not natural to be discouraged, but at the same time, we can take great hope in just understanding that He's with us. He's promised us also His Holy Spirit to be with and guide us, and to really help us to experience and live the fullness of the life that we've been given.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know we're going to talk about two different websites here, so you'll both get a chance. I know that during this month and really throughout the year, there are things on the website, Emily, that can be a resource to people that can help them. And perhaps particularly this month, people might be looking for some of that sort of information.
Yeah, absolutely. sfcatholic.org/respect life has a lot of, I would say, more ministerial resources, spiritual resources, theological resources to really assist us in resources and opportunities to get involved, I should say. to participate in this, to be formed in this, to be well-formed Christians, mm-hmm. I should say, in how we understand the goodness of life, the dignity of human life. And so we have several encyclicals and that kind of thing, but also invitations for things like the March for Life, or even a page that has local happenings that might be taking place near you that you could participate in, that I think are fantastic things. And then, Chris, your role with South Dakota Catholic Conference kind of has a different approach, teamwork approach, I should say, but less ministerial, more like faithful citizenship.
That's right. And kind of delving into the area, the realm of law and politics, which, you know, of course, it'd be a mistake to think that the extent of our duties end there. You know, life is so much bigger than simply law and politics, yet they are an important way that we live out Christ's mandates. So on my website, you know, I'd love it if people would join the email list to stay informed. It's sdcatholicconference.org. Send out updates from time to time on what's happening in and around the state on very important matters pertaining to the sanctity of life, mm-hmm. from conception to natural death. I've got a number of the bishops, both Bishop Swain here in the Diocese of Sioux Falls and Bishop Gruce from the Diocese of Rapid City, their statements on these issues in the past. And then there'll be springboards too, little hyperlinks in various places people can click to jump into some of the more complete and thorough teachings of the church on these topics.
And again, part of the goal is to help people understand the why behind what the church teaches. Sometimes people, you know, they might hear what the church is teaching, but they might not understand the why.
Yeah, and the why is so important. You know, we're confronted with a world that is aggressive in some of the ideologies that are completely contrary to gospel values. In the days of where you just show up and pray, pay, and obey, like, no, we've got to have an inner conviction in the truths of these realities that isn't just like blind obedience. We really have to have our eyes open and be convicted by these whys, as you put it.
And isn't that part of our baptismal call? Aren't we called to do that?
That's right. Yeah, it's we really have to. We've got to own it. Mm-hmm. It's got to reside deep within us.
Well, there's helps there to make that happen. In the month of October, sometimes I know our parishes do different things, and obviously you can check with your local parish in terms of what they might have scheduled. Emily, any other events that you want to make sure people know about or have the opportunity to participate in?
Yeah, one of the things that I would say, if you are on social media, Instagram or Facebook in particular, to make sure that you follow the diocesan pages. We try and do just some fun things to engage the diocese throughout the month of October. Mm-hmm. And like I said, kind of getting to that heart of joy surrounding the pro-life conversation. We want it to be a place that people are uplifted and that they can see and encounter the goodness of life. So I would definitely encourage people to follow along there. And then, like I said, we're going to do our darndest to make sure that events that are happening throughout the diocese are listed on our webpage, sfcatholic.org/respect/life. Things like the 40 Days for Life, the Life Chain, those, you know, all that is happening now through October. That are great opportunities to get involved. And then outside of October, though, one thing that we're walking towards is the March for Life, mm-hmm. in Washington, D.C. And so I know that's a little ways away, but really this is when a lot of groups start planning. They take opportunities within their parish during Respect Life Month to say, here's something that we're going to work towards. Maybe they'll do fundraisers in October, those types of things to join thousands and thousands and thousands of your closest pro-life friends in Washington, D.C. in January.
One of the things that I know we sometimes get accused of, we who are, in a sense, the church and trying to promote this culture of life, is that we only care about getting the babies born.
Yes.
And that we don't care what happens afterward. that's just so not true. There are so many resources available to help people. And I just want to make sure people know that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a great, I'm so glad that you brought that up, Jerry, because that's one of the things that I've been deeply convicted about as we're building up this culture of life. That oftentimes, so for example, looking at the abortion challenge, these mothers are often really hurting and wounded and feeling lost. And the role of the Christian is to accompany the suffering. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the great invitation to accompany Christ on the cross. And so, yeah, there's many, many things that people can get involved in for if they are, you know, hurting, things like our Rachel's Vineyard or post-healing retreats. We also have several therapists, counselors available actually on diocesan staff, even
through Catholic Family Services
right. to support and to love. And there's also funds that are set up for those mothers that maybe choose to parent. We have funds that are set up. We have an entire closet set up of baby diapers and new clothes and that kind of thing to support mothers, because it is a challenge. It's a great cross, and we recognize that when it's maybe not something that you were anticipating.
Yeah, so I just want to make sure we get that out there. And I don't know, Chris, if you run into that too, part of this argument you hear sometimes.
It is part of the argument, and crisis pregnancy centers have been just a great light, one of the witnesses over the past decades to really demonstrate in just a really clear way that this the pro-life movement is not just about shaming or seeking to criminalize people who feel like they've been backed into this corner. But it's, as you put it, it extends far beyond birth even. Mm-hmm. Towards the end of October, October 22nd, there's going to be a suicide forum at St. Therese Parish here in Sioux Falls, co-hosted by the parish and the Diocese of Sioux Falls, focusing on some of the psychological, pastoral, relational aspects of suicide, which just highlights, it's so sad. It highlights the culture of death as just being a poison. We're one of the most prosperous nations on the earth. I mean, think about that. Think about how comfortable we are in a material way, yet we're experiencing this crisis of despair. Mm-hmm. This is a spiritual crisis. Let's be clear. A crisis of despair that results in, sadly, people ending their own lives in numbers that are just shocking. You know, mm-hmm. the Centers for Disease Control published some data in the last month or two that is just it's mind-boggling. So it's so important for us as Christians to accompany the suffering, as Emily put it. Mm-hmm. People want to be looked upon with a gaze of love.
And that accompaniment, I think, is such a key component to building that culture of life, regardless of the topic we're talking about, right? I mean, you can talk about any of the issues that come into play with that. And the accompaniment, the relationship, the missionary discipleship opportunity that creates for us as Christians is just, we have to own that, I think.
And I have to be honest, there's some times where I don't want to go in the gutter.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, or go out into the go out into the streets, as Pope Francis famously said,
hospital.
We want you to this needs to be a field hospital. And how many times do I see that, and my immediate reaction is,
I'm very busy.
I have many things to do.
Yeah.
Or even the deeper, I think, seated fear of I have too much. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm expecting our next child, or I have this, or I have this, or I have this. And I was so convicted recently that if I'm not accompanying the suffering, then what am I doing? Mm-hmm. Then nothing else that I'm attempting to work towards, or if I'm not doing what God wants me to do, then what am I doing?
Yeah. And how will we ever convert the hearts of others if we're not doing it ourselves?
Amen. That's right. And the reality is that oftentimes we don't have to go too far to go to the periphery. It's either right outside our own doorstep or in our own families, as in many, many cases, the world is broken through. And so the suffering person that needs our presence, needs to be loved as Christ loves, is within our own family.
Well, there's lots of opportunities as we're talking this morning, and mostly we have to open our eyes and be willing to to follow where the Lord might lead us. About a couple of minutes left there this morning. I just want to make sure you both get a chance to pitch the fact that you're available to talk. I know you both are available to talk at different ways, different times. I know, Chris, you'll go all over the state for that matter.
Because
you work with both dioceses.
That's right. Happy to go anywhere in the state, and happy to be present and serve a parish that brings a particular need to my attention.
Mm-hmm. So that might be speaking, it might be a presentation, it might be who knows.
Yeah, that's right.
Whatever they need.
Yeah, and along these lines, I've already given presentations on physician-assisted suicide, which was a bullet we dodged in the political arena about a year ago, but is a very important issue to understand because it affects life at the other end of the spectrum most often for vulnerable senior citizens.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Emily?
And yeah, likewise, one of my passions is going and being with parishes, whether that's speaking to youth groups or adult faith formation or family formation groups. And we have kind of a myriad of topics, but I'm also happy if there's a specific need within your parish to address that. And then, you know, Chris and I have a desire to partner with the South Dakota Catholic Conference, with the Office of Respect Life, with Catholic Family Services, because I think that a lot of these topics require an integrated approach. Mm-hmm. They require really a level of looking through the various lenses, I guess you could say, in order to pastorally respond, in order to respond to the mental health concerns that come along with some of these things, but then also to engage with the culture at large in being a faithful citizen. What's my role within that? So, individually or together.
Good stuff. Lots of opportunities as October approaches. Maybe think about what we've talked about this morning. Hopefully it helps our listeners to have some ideas for themselves and how they can help build up the culture of life. Chris Motes and Emily Lidham, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Jerry.
Eugene, much to look forward to in October with Respect Life Month, and appreciate their sharing all of their happy thoughts and good thoughts about that. What else you got?
Part of that is being grateful to parents and never insulting them. That, according to Pope Francis, honoring mothers and fathers means being grateful for the gift of life, and Christians should never insult anyone's parents, Pope Francis said. Among us, there is also the habit of saying awful things, even profanity. Please never, never, never insult other people's parents. Never. Never insult a mother. Never insult the father, the Pope said this week during his weekly general audience. That's always good advice.
It is, and it's interesting, I think, to follow that. He's been talking about each of the Ten Commandments in his weekly addresses, and so obviously he's on the Fourth Commandment.
Exactly.
At this point, so more to stay tuned to see what else he has to say.
It's always great to listen to the Pope. He's got great things to say.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, thanks, Gene, for that. Thanks for listening to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein, along with Gene, and we will be back next Sunday.